Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch, and I'm sitting here with Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
And Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
Oh, you know, a little of this, a little of that. I'm glad everyone brought a little snack with. Jason's got his coffee. Lindsay's
got
her vegan yogurt.
Huge.
And you're in a suit.
And I'm in a suit, exactly. Yeah. That's my snack.
We all
got a snack today.
Oh, man. I just set that up for you.
Yeah, you really did. I appreciate that. So anyways, today is a big day for two people on planet Earth. Lindsay Havens and Billie Eilish, because Billie's debut album came out today. The debut album has an all-caps title, which is, "When we all fall asleep, where do we go?"
It's a perfect narration.
Go with eight O's, apparently.
Go.
Where do we go?
Like you're falling down a hole and it gets gradually quieter and quieter.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I mean, Lindsay, you have been a Billie stan since the beginning, really.
I sure have been.
And she's been around a while now, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think Ocean Eyes came out when she was 13. She is 17 now, as I learned earlier. Jason informed me.
It's true.
So yeah, it's been a while for her. But at the same time, something I've said before, it's been a while on paper, but when you actually think about like how far she's come in that amount of time, it suddenly seems very short to go from having one hit song to being what I would call one of the biggest pop stars right now. Pop in quotes.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's quite a claim.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, truly remarkable how huge she's gotten. And it feels like this whole year, it's kind of just getting started for her, because now that the album is out, you know, in a couple weeks, one of us is going to see her at Coachella, Lindsay. What if Lindsay goes to Coachella and you like skip seeing Billie Eilish?
You're
like, you're like, you know, like, I went to see this other like pop rock group instead. And we're like, Lindsay, no.
I will say, you know, everyone has their show that, I think this was like a Twitter thread, like, who did you see before they blew up at like a smaller venue? I saw Billie at Bowery Ballroom, and that will always be like
one
of those shows. Yeah, because as I was watching her, I was like, this won't happen again. And now she's doing Radio City, and then I think it'll just get bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Who's yours, Joe? Take a little detour in this must hear music.
I did at that same venue. I saw Florence and the Machine first album, and it was absolutely fantastic. I guess I saw White Stripes. Now I sound old. I saw them like before they blew up, like definitely after they had a couple albums out, but it was still a pretty small venue in my hometown of Minneapolis.
That's so awesome.
And my sister and I were big stands with a lot of time on our hands, so we got there early and we were front row, and Jack White winked at her. So
wow. Are you sure it wasn't a
She was probably like 13 at the time, so I think it was more just like, you're a cute little kid.
Thanks for coming
Not
to the
really
show.
Not really so insidious, but...
Thanks for clarifying that.
what about you, Jason?
When this Twitter thread was going around, there were two that came to mind. One was actually also at Bowery Ballroom, Frank Ocean, which was awesome, after Nostalgia Ultra first came out.
I saw him play that Chapel after that. Remember? That was like a fader event, I think, or something?
With Bon Iver?
Yeah.
I was there.
Wow.
We did not know each other then.
We did not, no.
Wow.
Look at you now.
Look at us now. and then I saw Ed Sheeran at Mercury Lounge.
I mean, that's cool. But
wow. He's playing stadiums.
Do you remember when he first... Wow, this is a real detour. When he first came out, like, people were describing him as British singer-rapper. Because a lot of his early, like, YouTube stuff, he was, like, rapping on.
The thing that people kind of forget about Ed Sheeran is, like, there were so many of those, like, British singer-songwriters who were coming over. Mm-hmm. And just, like, 98% of them never made it in the U.S. And he was one that
Rag and Bone Man is doing great.
Aww.
We should just have, like, a Must Hear Music podcast where Lindsay just talks about Rag and Bone Man for like 40 minutes and we just nod.
And we just like That'd fall asleep.
I'm only human after all. That's the title of it.
See, that would be a good pun joke if anyone knew the song you were
talking exactly.
about. Damn it. Well, anyway.
Let's go back.
Let's go back to the thing that ostensibly this podcast
people
is about.
Listening for
music. Right. Anyways, so Billie Eilish, debut album out now. Lindsay, you picked a couple songs you wanted to hone in on. One of them is Bad Guy, which is the new single. So, you know, talk to us. Hit us.
I'm going
to
talk to you guys about Bad Guy. This comes earlier on the album. I think the order of the track listing is interesting. Rather than a mixed bag, it's definitely, like, top heavy. Mm-hmm. And it gets into the more melancholy songs later on. So this is at the top. I think it's interesting because there's, like, a house backbeat to it. And Billie is, like, sing-talking, which I actually don't think we've seen from her yet. So that grabbed me, and there are some nice snaps in there. And it's one of those, there we go, just like that. Exactly. It's one of those classic Billie songs that just builds and builds in intensity and in production as it goes on, which is something I've come to love from her. I also thought it was really clever. She's big on playing with gender norms and has said in a lot of interviews she doesn't want to be feminine. She likes dressing like a guy. And so playing with the concept of bad guy, it works in both ways. She's talking to someone else being like, you're a bad guy. And then she's like, well, I am too. And she doesn't overtly say that, but it's pretty clear that you could pick up on that from the video as well. And the main reason I wanted to highlight this, it showcases like a new confidence from her, I think, which is something Joe and I, we were talking about earlier a little bit. It's so evident on the video. Like, she is owning this moment. And it's cool to hear that on one of the songs, too.
Yeah, I think you get a lot of the sense of the confidence in when she tosses out that cheeky little duh during the song.
She's showing her teenage years at that moment.
I mean, that's true, but it's also like she seems like she's having fun.
Exactly.
And she's comfortable enough on her debut. Like, she's kind of proven herself already. So, like, on her debut, she's, like, already comfortable enough to, like, kind of throw out some casual asides like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like this song. You know, the kind of sing-speak thing reminds me very much of, like, Lana Del Rey and her vaguely hip-hop mode. I feel like that's probably a big influence on her. Another big influence I see, especially, you know, like, the way this kind of song involves electronic music and vaguely hip-hop and pop is Taylor Swift's Reputation.
For sure.
I feel like that has been a quietly influential work on Ms. Eilish and perhaps others in the last few years, more so than its initial detractors would have allowed for. And that similarly, you know, Taylor posited herself as, like, the bad guy on that, the snake, and Billie's doing the same.
Wow. It's true. Wow. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. I believe that, like, you know, I wrote about this album, and one of the things that really sticks out to me, and I like it a lot, is how she's trying something different on each song. And with Bad Guy, it kind of is a little bit of a mirror with Bury a Friend, but just because she has the kind of same impulses of, like, that kind of low-end, like, deep bass, and it's kind of sinister imagery. But, yeah, at the same time, like, it's fashioned like a single. And, you know, even though some of the experiments on this album don't necessarily pan out, I think that this is one in which she's really successful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's listen to it before we talk more Billie. So it is Bad Guy from Billie Eilish's debut album.
Bad Guy. Duh.
All right, that was Bad Guy. The other song we're talking about...
how do you say this one?
We don't know how to say it. We should have looked this up. Well, I guess, anyways, it's Ilo Milo, Ilo Milo, Ilo Milo.
Ilo Milo, Ilo Milo.
Anyways, it's apparently some sort of puzzle. I don't know. I don't do puzzles.
Oh,
I don't understand.
We should get Dan Rice in here, Billboard news director Dan Rice,
slash puzzle expert,
a big puzzle head,
big puzzler.
I like a good puzzle. What? I mean, I don't.
I have nothing
against
them.
I don't play. I don't like do like jigsaw puzzles because he does like jigsaw puzzles, right?
Oh yeah, this is intense. They have a puzzle board that they build the puzzles on.
I just don't understand the appeal.
No,
I mean, okay.
Have you ever done like jigsaw puzzles?
Yeah, I mean, of course, as a kid, I had a really cool one that was the Beauty and the Beast poster in puzzle format. It was really lovely. I liked that one a lot. But I mean, I haven't done one in years. I mean, maybe
I've only
done
them when I'm hanging out with Dan lately.
I'm really bad at puzzles. Is that like an okay thing to admit?
No.
On a podcast?
Not really.
Yeah. I would, well, don't worry. We'll take that off. We'll edit it out.
Okay, phew. I would listen to a podcast hosted by Dan Rice called Puzzle Talk.
Puzzle Talk.
Just him talking about puzzles.
Free podcast name.
Yeah.
If anyone out there wants to
do their
own. I
feel like you could do better.
What if you just narrated the puzzle as you went through it? You're like, oh, I can't really figure out where this piece... Oh, I found it. putting it in. Oh, it doesn't quite fit. Oh, no, it does fit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see where this blue piece goes.
Oh, man.
I really like that idea. Like,
yeah, I love this.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. It's this
riveting.
Is good stuff. Anyways, so there is a song on the Billie Eilish album, Ilo Milo, whatever, named after some puzzle game. This was another one of your picks, Lindsay.
Yes.
I don't want to steal your thunder, but I won't. I'll just let you describe it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The best way I can describe the song is as a scary melody. And I've thought a little bit about this with this album, like in terms of, is this a concept album, more broadly speaking about dreams and the things that come with that? And, you know, where do we go when we all fall asleep, as Eilish says herself. Some of the songs are outliers in that, but I think this one totally fits in. There's this creeping melody and these really glitchy vocals that you can almost visualize her voice moving in slow motion and being like broken apart as it is coming out of her, which I think is really interesting. And I love the reference. She says, "Friends I've had to bury," and it's just a very like subtle nod at "bury a friend," which is similar to this song and also on the album. But I just like that little nod to a song that's already doing really well for her.
Mm-hmm.
I also loved one other lyric I just wanted to call out. "Don't want to be lonely, hoping you'd come home," which I think is so interesting as a 17-year-old who very openly still lives with her parents at home. I like to think that it's about her family, like either her parents coming home at the end of the day, or more recently, Tatiana in The Office did a really great interview with her brother Phineas, and he was saying
love that.
Ugh, I have a notepad from that show on my desk.
Is that like a Disney show? I kind of remember.
That's like a Disney show. Yes, it's an amazing Disney animated series.
Oh, cool.
It was a smash hit series.
I was Perry the Platypus for Halloween twice.
Wow.
But the last two Halloweens.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was recent. I won't lie. But Tatiana did a really good interview with him in which he said that he had moved out recently and he was really excited to tour with Billy again just to have like that hang time
That's
you
so
get with
cute.
A sibling, which is
that.
Adorable. So I would like to think that she's sort of reciprocating that here and is like, you know, I just kind of wish that you would come home. Like, I miss having my older brother here and just messing around with music or whatever that is. But who knows who she was referring
who
to?
Who can say?
Not
I guess
I.
she could say.
Yeah.
I like this a lot. It has kind of like this childish, like, sing-song lullaby quality to it that I like, but then it has, like, a more sinister vibe to it, and those two things always pair nicely together. There's some reverby synths that are pretty cool in it. It's just a good sound, and yeah, she has, like, some real sonic diversity on this album, and her vocals, too, like, are really... I would say, listening to the full album, I didn't realize how good of a singer she actually is. Like, I don't know if she has the range, as they say on Twitter, but she's got... some range. So
she's got range.
Some range.
I mean that's the standout quality to this song, to me, is that she has such like a nuanced vocal take on this song. And, you know, obviously songs like You Should See Me in a Crown or Bury a Friend, like the songs that had come out before, like showed and especially Ocean Eyes, which still might be my favorite Billie Eilish song.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best.
That's like a knife.
Yeah. they showcase her vocal talent, but again, like I said, there's some really subtle changes in this song that I really appreciate and are really impressive. This is definitely another standout on this album.
I want to call back to what you were mentioning earlier, Lindsay. When we fall asleep, where do we go? So recently, and a reason for hiatus in podcasting, I had pneumonia. And at the height of my feverish pneumonia, I was like, I went through a whole night where I kept waking up every 40 minutes. So it was like fitful sleeping.
Uh-huh.
And in my dreams at the height of it, I was very concerned that I had somehow passed into like an alternate reality or
Whoa.
Like a different, you know,
Maybe you did.
Universe in the multiverse. And I was like, but I don't want to do that.
Well, Joe, you figured it out. I'm not Jason at all.
No.
I guess that's what happens when you enter an alternate universe.
Well,
I guess.
Then.
It's like Mission
People
Impossible.
People pull their faces off.
Yeah, I don't know.
An alternate universe where everyone loves jigsaw puzzles, and I'm just like, what's going on?
That sounds frightening. Glad you're healthy again.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad I'm healthy. Anyways, but let's listen to it. So it's a song we don't know how to pronounce. It's from Billie Eilish. I'm going to say Illo Milo this time.
I like
let's
it.
Listen to it.
I love someone because I might break if you're going to die. Not by mistake. So where did you go? I should know, but it's cold and I don't wanna be lonely. So tell me you'll come home, even if it's just a lie. I try not to upset.
All right. So Billie Eilish. This next one is my pick. I'm curious to know what you guys think about it. So it's Ugly God featuring Lil Pump, Hello. It is not a cover of Adele. It is not a cover of Lionel Richie. Don't worry.
Don't worry. I'm disappointed.
I know. So Ugly God, well, we talked, his song Water from a couple years ago was something we both enjoyed very much.
Love that song.
Thanks Ugly God callback
Thanks,
is
Ugly
hilarious.
God. Just imagine Adele's Hello. And nothing changed about it except the Thanks Ugly God drop is throughout it.
I think it would make it a better song, actually.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. Not better, but a nice addition.
I think it would take it up a level. So anyways, Ugly God and Lil Pump teamed up. This song is produced by Thank You Fizzle. The production I just love. It's like this 8-bit video game music, kind of retro style, which is its own sort of like internet subgenre. There's this plinky off-kilter piano melody. You know, the lyrics are pretty standard stuff. It's nothing super astounding. You know, they brag about women, about money, signifiers of wealth. But there's just, like, they're having so much fun together. You can really tell they're, like, enjoying to be together on this production. And they're actually, as I, you know, just said, like, the lyrics aren't super good. There are, I would say the chorus has a really interesting line. It's, bitch, I'm rich, but I'm still ghetto. Which there's actually, like, kind of, I think, a lot going on with that, you know, a lot being said about, you know, what happens when you kind of hop classes, you know, you get a lot of money, but, you know, you're from a different social strata and, like, kind of how that feels like. And I think there's a lot going on there. And yeah, I just think it's, like, so much fun. Like, this is just, like, a total delight to me, like, 8-bit video game music and two rappers goofing around. Like, I'm there.
A total delight.
Yeah, I'm sad to say this, Joe. I'm not a fan of this one at all.
Oof.
And look, you know, no one loves Water by Ugly God as much as me, I would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one totally left me cold. Not a big Lil Pump guy. I just thought this was pretty forgettable.
Oof.
Yeah, I know. It's just it wasn't for me. Everything you just described as a positive, I would say would be a negative. I don't like the production. I think the lyrics are kind of clumsy. You know, no thanks.
You're not
this one,
showing up to
God.
this God's church. You are a non-believer.
No, I wouldn't say I'm a non-believer in Ugly God like that. I would
but
never say something like that.
But
yeah, this song. Yeah. Just listen to Lionel Richie's Hello instead. That would be my... That would be my
all right.
advice.
There's some real must-hear music. Keep up with all the contemporary hits.
Listen to that's every song.
Hear
I
with
should
the
just
freshest
be like,
music.
Listen to Lionel Richie instead.
Oh, they don't make them like they used to. Lindsay, yeah. What do you...
I agree with you. I think this is a really fun, bouncy song.
Oh, boy.
I love how you can hear they're having fun. And obviously with a title like Hello, and with the two of them being like, hello, hello, it introduces this element of conversation that I think is fun from a song. It sort of invites the listener in a way that you don't always get from other songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So we're saying hello to... Never mind, I give up.
We're saying hello, Jason's saying goodbye.
Yeah. Nope, not for me.
Anyways, well, whatever. We'll let the listener decide. So here it is. It's Hello is Ugly God featuring Lil Pump, and it's good, despite what Jason says.
Dropped out of school just to run it up. Nigga, you broke, get your money up. Thought I didn't, you get the uppercut. What the fuck, ooh. Hello,
hello,
hello, bitch, I'm rich, but I'm still ghetto. Hello,
hello, fuck on that bitch in her home on the metro.
Hello, wait,
yeah, Mexican plug named Pedro.
Serving that yo-yo.
He do what I say cause I got him on payroll.
Hello,
hello,
bitch, I'm rich, but I'm still ghetto. Hello,
hello, fuck on that bitch in her home on the metro.
All right, this next one is Sky Ferreira, Downhill Lullaby.
I hope that her next album, whenever it's coming, and we still don't know when it's coming. I hope it's coming soon. I do hope that there are some pure pop moments on it, because I think that although she's not interested in becoming like a traditional pop star, and that's very fair, she's so successful at traditional pop. When you think about Everything Is Embarrassing, but also on Nighttime My Time, like I Blame Myself, You're Not the One, like these songs are really hold up years later.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so fascinating in just in terms of their approach and her voice and her anger behind a lot of her songs. I love Sky, and Downhill Lullaby is certainly a pretty sharp left turn, but I think it's worthwhile. So anyway, what did you guys think of this?
I'm just gonna pause and leave it at that. I like it. I will say that
it's no Ugly God.
It's no Ugly God featuring Lil Pump. I don't know how often I'll return to it.
Yeah.
That being said, I agree with what you're saying, but I almost disagree with the take. I feel like this is sort of a more comfortable lane for her. And I mean, you're probably going to disagree, but like I liked her doing pop, but I always felt with her doing pop music that she was someone who was like, not a pop artist who was just making pop music. Like, this to me feels like her more like a true artistic voice.
Oh, no,
I agree with that.
I totally agree with that, actually. I think that she is more comfortable doing this stuff.
Yeah.
I just hope, and again, I think that she's so successful at pop that even if it's not her preferred lane, and obviously I totally respect that, she's so good at it that I hope we get some of that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not done. Anyways, I have other notes written down.
Read your notes, Joe.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, at 5 minutes, that is a little bit long. But, you know, it's very cinematic.
Yes.
I mean, quite literally, it has strings in it. But, you know, it's interesting. Like, the strings are sort of, like, disorienting and vertiginous. It's very, reminds me of Bernard Herrmann's work in Alfred Hitchcock's movies.
Ooh.
Oh, sure.
It builds up to kind of like a fun little cacophony at the end. And I also really appreciate that, which is kind of a bold move for any singer. Like, she takes a step back vocally. Like, she lets the music kind of dominate and not so much her voice.
Yep.
Like, and not that her voice gets eaten up, but, like, she's not, the mix, you're like, let me start over. Her voice isn't like front and center in the mix, and a lot of singers would be kind of scared to do that. I appreciate that she's able to do that. It also sort of reminds me a little poppier, but like of the work of the late Scott Walker, who recently passed
away.
Yeah,
I thought the same thing.
Oh, nice. Cool. But Lindsay, what's your take on this?
Well, so going off of what you said on how her voice isn't front and center, what I did notice that I really liked, and it's subtle, after the cacophony, as you said, after sort of like the sonic explosion at the end, the thing that like brings you as the listener back is her voice again.
Mm-hmm.
I had just read most of the cover story that Pitchfork did before listening to this, and right at the top she was talking about this anxiety attack that she had, and then I listened to this song, and I feel like this is a soundtrack of what an anxiety attack might be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a sense of falling when you're listening to this almost, and then to like for it to have that sonic explosion, and then to have her very soft voice like be the thing to pull you back out, and then to have it end. I think it's actually a beautiful and really smart song.
Yeah. No, I'm super curious to see, like, where she goes. Like, if she has a full album of stuff like this.
I don't think there could be a full album like this. Just because it's so heavy, almost.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there would have to be some lighter moments.
But this is an interesting reintroduction.
Yeah. No, it's bold. It's a bold move. But
yeah.
All right. Well, let us listen to it. So, Sky Ferreira, Downhill Lullaby.
No one can hear me.
All right, that was New Sky. Next and last, one of my picks,
ooh,
The Chainsmokers.
Ooh, baby.
New song, Kills You Slowly.
This song killed me slowly.
I do actually like this song. Ugh. This is definitely one of those picks, though, where I'm also just kind of like, I think it's an interesting thing to talk about. Like, their career has, well, anyway, so let me just say, Kills You Slowly. It's sort of like, it's kind of a slower, like, vaguely lovely, sort of Coldplay-ish type thing, like more late years Coldplay. It is Andrew Taggart of the duo sings on it.
Yeah, I was wondering. I didn't know who did the vocals.
It is Mr. Taggart.
He's
not like he's not like a vocal dynamo, but he has a good voice. He has a surprisingly good voice. You know, we don't hear a lot of DJs singing on their own songs, which is cool in itself. I like that this is, like, a radio-oriented pop ballad, but, like, there's some interesting, like, the you know, kind of skittering beats in the background. Like, they're using electronic music, but they're definitely making a complete move to, like, radio-oriented pop at this point. Like, you would not listen to this and be like, oh, this is an EDM group. But I think that's also very smart because, and I'm going to try to choose my words carefully, like, you know, like, EDM was super hot, was, like, white hot for a while, and it has cooled off a bit. Like, I'm not saying it's over, and dance music is eternal.
You're saying dance music's over.
Dance music will always have a vibrant scene. But, like, in terms of, like, the, you know, like, the it moment, like, you know, people, EDM was that for a while, less so now. And I think it's very smart of them that they're sort of pivoting away. But they are very smart. I mean, they're like basically like business dudes.
Can't believe you just declared EDM is over.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Dance is dead. Feet will never move again.
No.
This song's really good. I like
Isn't
this song
good?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that like we're headed toward the moment in which we like there's going to be some sort of like Twitter movement of like, are the Chainsmokers like actually making really good music now?
Yeah.
Not that they, you know, were making terrible music before, despite what a lot of people thought. I think that they're making really solid pop music now, and I'm kind of all about it.
What is happening?
Yeah.
Lindsay,
not
a fan.
Not at all.
Wow.
I literally wrote thumbs down.
I can see her notes, and she did indeed write thumbs down. Wow.
I don't get this song. I don't think it was very good. I feel like I'm the only one who, when everyone was trolling the Chainsmokers, I liked what they were doing then, and I thought they were doing it well. Even though they were following sort of a blueprint of having these vocalists come onto their tracks.
Yeah.
And now I feel like ever since they're trying to switch it up a bit, which may be a smart move business-wise and strategy-wise, but
it's not working for me. Nothing that they've put out with Drew singing on it has really...
Oh.
Has really hit the mark for me.
Sorry, Drew.
Sorry, buddy.
Well, they've lost one fan, but gained two. No, I've actually been, like, not like a stan, but, like, I've been a subtle supporter over the, like, you know, like, Kanye, like, from Kanye, really. I was like, these guys are actually pretty good.
Wow. My wife really likes that Coldplay Chainsmoker song, Something Just Like This. So whenever that song is on the radio, we listen to it, and it's
I have to say, I sort of hated how much I liked it.
Yeah, it's fine. But that's how I felt about a lot of their music, and now I just hate it.
It's just pure hatred at this point. Well, I'm sorry this song killed you slowly.
Wow.
It's okay. Something gets us all.
Something, yeah, exactly. No one lasts forever. Anyways, all right, well, let's listen to it. Chainsmokers kills you slowly.
I do things I can't defend, and even when you hold it in, holding, even though it kills you slowly. Explosions, hidden when we're in the open.
All right, that was Chainsmokers, and this is the end of the Eilish podcast.
Some pretty harsh pans.
We did have some harsh pans on
this episode. Whenever Lindsay writes thumbs down in her notebook, like, then you know shit's getting real.
As if I would forget that I didn't like it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I love this song. Oh, wait a minute. Saying?
I wrote thumbs down. I guess I didn't like it that much.
But yeah, I don't know what's coming up. Probably
Khalid.
Some stuff.
We'll have some Khalid.
Oh, that's
next
great.
Week.
Yeah.
Khalid.
Very excited about
some
Khalid.
Sarah B.
Sarah Bareilles. Yeah.
Young Sarah.
Young
and,
Sarah.
And then our new overlords, BTS.
Our new overlords.
That is, yeah.
We're going to have that BTS must hear music. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Let's do it. All
cool. Right.
All right. Thank you for listening. If you got some recs, tweet at us. Tweet your takes.
Have
on
we gotten any reviews lately, like in iTunes? I haven't checked.
I haven't checked.
Review us. Come
review
on.
Review us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Write something.
Tell us what Puzzle Talk the podcast would be like.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you would listen.
Yeah, please let us know.
If someone, but okay, let's say someone had never listened to the podcast and they went to the reviews and it was all about puzzles.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
They would be
like,
this is a podcast I will never have interest in listening to.
Or
maybe they love
so
puzzles and then they'll listen to it and be like, where's the puzzle
music
talk?
And puzzles?
Right.
I mean,
just a final thought. I just searched if the name Puzzle Talk is the name of a podcast that exists. It does not.
Great.
Ooh, all right.
It's ours for the taking.
Ours for, or whoever's listening, honestly. Like,
ooh, yeah. Free ideas.
Take it. Yeah. All right. Anyways, thanks for listening and we will catch you next time.